Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. Welcome to House of Evangelical Gospel Blog Talk Radio, Sunday School Lesson for April the 26th, 2020. We want to welcome you all here from Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Tunnel Spring, Alabama, 36471. Our telephone number is 251-564-2171. And like all churches, we are under the auspices of the law so far as the Corona-19 virus and the gathering of church members. And we, like many other churches, are broadcasting through social media, through internet media, the Sunday School lesson. Antioch Baptist Church, the church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Olive is our pastor. Our Sister Joyce Olive is our first lady and our clerk.
Our clerk is Sister Lisa Stallworth.
Freddie Howard, the superintendent.
The Sunday School takes place every Sunday from 9:30 a.m. and it will take place today, 9:30 a.m. on the internet, as well as our church service will stream live at 11 a.m. with Pastor Oliver bringing the sermon. We have worship on every second, fourth, and fifth Sundays at 11 a.m. Again, thank you for being with us. Let us go to the throne. Eternal God, our Father, I thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be a part of your agenda for ministry. Thank you for making me an instrument of your service and that I may impact and influence the lives of those whom you place in my sphere of influence. Help me to accept them as they are. Lead them to become what you will have them to become. I ask for your wisdom, your insight, and most of all, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let us begin with a pre-introduction to what we're going to be dealing with today. The lesson topic for Sunday, April the 26th, 2020, is What Goes Around Comes Around. Devotion readings are going to come out of Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 19. The background scripture is going to come out of Isaiah 61, 8, 62, 12. And the printed text is going to come out of Isaiah 61, 8 through 11 verse, and 62, 2 through 4a. All right. One of the things that we always do is give the home daily Bible readings. These are preparations that you should have done the week. If you have not done them, we will give them to you now, and you can read them later on. Okay, Solomon makes a just decision. 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28. 1 Kings, Solomon makes a just decision. That's in 1 Kings. As we flip through our pages here, 1 Kings 16 through 28. 1 Kings 3, 16 through 28, I'm sorry. All right. Solomon shows great wisdom. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I am this woman, dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together there, and no strangers with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is the son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Number 23. Then said the king, The one saith, That is my son that liveth, and the son is in the dead. And the other said, Nay, but the son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, and for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and no wise they said she is the mother thereof. 28. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The one that was the mother of the child that was living loved the child and wanted the child to live and did not want to see the child split in half, as Solomon had told them to bring the sword to cut in half. That shows the love in the mother's heart, and that shows the deceit in the other lady's heart when she said, cut it in half. God is powerful. That's how much God loves us as well. Let's go to April the 21st, which is a Tuesday. This would be Luke, the 4th chapter, 14 through 21. Luke, the 4th chapter, 14 through 21. Luke, the 4th chapter, 14 through 21. All right, Luke, the 4th chapter, 14 through 21, as we flip the pages here. Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. Jesus issued his platform for justice. Platform for justice. Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. He's given his platform. Verse 14. Let us begin there. He's ministering in Galilee. Jesus preaches in Galilee. All right. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue in the Sabbath and stood for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Found the place where it is written. And it says this: The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight of the blind, to set at liberty that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. 21. And he began to say to them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All right. He is letting them know. He is letting them know. Jesus went into the synagogue as the custom was, even though he was the perfect Son of God. And his local synagogue left much to be desired. He attended service every week. He examples makes most excuses and are not attending. His example makes most excuses for not attending church sound weak, self-serving, make regular worship a part of your life, even today, during the circumstances of the government-mandated coronavirus situation, and how many can attend. Let's go to Leviticus, the year of Jubilee established. Let's go to Leviticus, the 25th chapter, verses 8 through 7. Leviticus, the very first part of the Bible, and the Old Testament. Leviticus, the 25th chapter, verses 8 through 17, the year of the Jubilee. The year of the Jubilee. Let us begin. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of a year unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7th Sabbath of the year shall be unto the 49th year. All right, and you do it in the 50th year. All right, 50th Jubilee. All right, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and in the day of the atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout the land. And it shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty through all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and he shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither shall you reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, or thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thy cell ought not unto neighbors, but ought to thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Let me read that again. And if thy cell ought unto thy neighbor, or buys ought of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. 15. According to the numbers of the years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the numbers of the years of the first fruit he shall sell thee. 16. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the numbers of the years of the fruit thou he sell unto thee. All right. Now the 17th verse says, ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. This particular section here is a very unique way of restoring and giving everything back to the original owners. The year 50-year jubilee is not observed here in this country or any place in the world that I know of. We often wonder why things are not going as they should with mankind. Perhaps this is one of them. The year of Jubilee was meant to celebrate every 50 years. It included canceling all debt, freeing all slaves, returning to the original owners all that had been sold. There is no indication in the Bible that the year of Jubilee was ever carried out in Israel. If Israel had followed this practical faithfulness, a society without permanent poverty would have resulted. A society without permanent poverty would have resulted. In other words, there would be nobody poor and without. Okay, is that a lesson for us today? I believe it is a lesson for us today. Let's go to Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verses 1 through 7. The future Redeemer, God's servant, will be light. God's servant will be light. A light to the nations, a light to the nation. 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, and from the bowels of my mothers hath he made mention of thy name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadows of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I am labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now said the Lord that informed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I go glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up tribes of Jacob, to restore and preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou may be this my salvation unto the end of the earth. Verse 7. Thus said the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Powerful, powerful. God's servant will be the light. They are talking about Jesus, the future Redeemer. All right, 49, 1 through 7, before the servant, the Messiah, was born, God had chosen him to bring the light of the gospel, the message of salvation, to the world. See Acts 13:47. Christ offered salvation to all nations. Christ offered salvation to all nations, and his apostles began the missionary movement to take the gospel to the end of the earth. Missionary work today continues. Jesus generally commissioned Matthew 28:18-20, when he was getting ready to ascend into heaven, taking the light of the gospel to all the nation. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That command is still in force for today. That's some vision for us. A new vision of the people. Isaiah 61:1-7. Let's go to Isaiah. All right. 61. Flip a few pages over. We hope everything is going well for you. You're doing safe and doing the things which you need to do to stay safe. It is important that we do as we have been instructed. God hews good news for those who suffer. This is very important. Good news for those who suffer. There are a lot of people suffering. There is a lot of people suffering during this coronavirus. People have lost loved ones, they have lost jobs, they have been put upon in so many ways by the scourge of this virus. Good news for those who suffer. 61. Let us read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We have read this already, but it's a repeat, but it's God's word. Perhaps the reason why it's being repeated in this lesson is that it is something that you should take to heart. In fact, take everything to heart, but really take to heart. Good news for those who suffer. When you're in suffering, people want to throw their hands up and run away. But it is good news when you're suffering, because God knows you're suffering and he proclaims things to you. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord, God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them the mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that we might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And the stranger shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the isle shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the minister of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Verse number 7. And it says this: for your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Powerful verses here. Powerful verses here. Jesus quoted these words in Luke 4:18-21. As he read to the people that in the synagogue, he stopped in the middle of 61:2. After these words, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Closing the book, he said, this day in this scripture fulfills in your ears. In other words, the fact that Jesus was present, all those things that the scripture said had come to fruition. The next phase in 61:2, and the day of vengeance of our God will come true when Jesus returns to earth again. We are now under God's favor. The wrath is yet to come. We are in the birthing pains of the presence of those changes now. Under the old covenant, God ordained the priests of Israel to stand between him and his people. They brought God's word to the people, and the people needs the sin people and the people's needs and sins to God. Under the new covenant, a believer are priests before God. A believer are priests before God, reading God's word and seeking to understand it, confessing their sins directly to God and ministering to others. You can go directly to Jesus Christ at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go to God at any time. You are priests. A believers are priests before God. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. You are a believer in Christ. You are priests. Welcome to the Redeemer's home. Isaiah 62 verses 5 through 12. Isaiah 62 verses 5 through 12. Isaiah prays for Jerusalem. 62 verses 5 through 12. Let us read. All right. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall the sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Pay attention here now. Verse 6, I have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give rest, can give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. A praise in the earth. And the Lord swore by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for thee which thou hast labored. Let us continue. But thou that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they have bought it together shall drink it in the court of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stone. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his works before him. The final verse, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed, the Lord. Thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Powerful words here. This is awesome here. Okay. 62, 1 through 7, another insight. Isaiah's zeal for his people and his desire to see the works of salvation completely caused him to pray without ceasing. Are you praying without ceasing? That is a command for you. Pray without ceasing. Pray in season and out of season. Are you praying now? Hoping that Israel would be saved, we should have Isaiah's zeal to see God's will done. This is what we mean when we say, the kingdom come, thy kingdom come, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. All right. Try, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is good to keep praying persistently for others. And the final verse, highlight information on that verse, is that the people of Jerusalem will have new names, the holy people and the redeemed of the Lord. Believe today also, believers today also have new name, Christians. In 1 Peter 2 and 5, we are called a holy priesthood. Remember I just said a few minutes ago, believers in Christ are priests, and you can go to the throne for yourself. You can call on people You can pray. You can go to the throne for your own self. That happened when Jesus Christ died on a cross and that curtain was ripped from top to bottom. All right. The lesson for April 26, 2020. All right. The devotional reading comes from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. It is important that you understand and the focus that you take on the lesson so that you can stay focused. We've already did the chosen one. We did that in your opening as you prepared for the lesson, Isaiah 42:1-9. That's devotional reading. Those are the things that you ponder on prior to going into the lesson. That's why it's a devotional reading. In other words, you read and you pray and you sing and you prepare yourself to receive God's word. That's Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. And it said, "Behold, my servant, whom I behold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentile." You know who he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. "He shall not cry, not lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall not be quenched. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, not be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus said God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit of them that walk therein." He is talking about Jesus Christ. "The Lord hath called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles." Verse 7 says, "To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." God is talking directly to us. God got a way. He would do what he said he's going to do. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise be graven image. Behold, this final verse here. "Behold, the former things are come to pass, new things I do declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." He will tell you in advance, just like he told you about his return. He's not coming on a bus, plane, a train. He's coming on a cloud, and every eye shall see. Listen to God's word. Don't be deceived by what other folks are saying. Isaiah 61, the background scripture. Isaiah 61:8. As we turn there, we're getting all of these things in place so that you be ready, willing, when we start reading the lesson to understand what is taking place. Isaiah 61:8. And it says this. Listen. "For the Lord loves judgment. I hate robbery. For burnt offering, I will direct their works in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them." Powerful, isn't it? Do you understand what that is saying? Listen. Here it is. We suffer for many reasons. Our own mistakes, someone else's mistake, injustice. When we suffer for our own mistakes, we get what we deserve. We suffer because of others' injustice. God is angry when that takes place. God, in his mercy, says that his people have suffered enough. God will reward those who suffer because of injustice. He will settle all accounts. Don't you do anything. You just pray to God. You pray to God whenever you're being put upon. God's got it. You heard the saying, God's got your back? God's got it. He got it. All right? Don't worry about it. God's got it. All right. And 62 verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. What does that mean? The people of Jerusalem will have new names, the holy people, and the redeemed of the Lord. Believers today also have a new name. We just said that. Christians in 1 Peter 2 and 5, we are called a holy priesthood. You are a holy priesthood. Okay? Now, let's go to today's lesson. Today's lesson is Isaiah 61, 8 through 11, 62, 2 to 4a. Our key verse for today. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. We just got through explaining that to you. We hope you understand well what that means. For the Lord loves justice. Oh, the Lord loves justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. How do you be the salt of the earth? Let's inject that. How do you become the salt of the earth? In other words, you see something being done wrong, speak out. Speak up. Don't sit there in silence talking about it ain't bothering me. It is bothering you. It's bothering the people of God. It's bothering other human beings. For is the Lord love justice? He loves justice. So whenever you see injustice, speak out about it. I don't care what it is, racism, whatever it is. Speak your challenge it. What goes around comes around. Okay, the results of experiencing this lesson, the person should be able to do these things. Explicit the hope of vindication for the righteous and faithful. There is a day for those that continue to do right and what is right, righteous and justice. God is faithful to do that because he hates injustice. Long for salvation and restoration of God's people. Long for salvation. Pray that prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. All right. Commit to making just decisions in everyday life. Make just decisions in everyday life. Do the right thing. Diamonds, key terms here, Hebrew word, a turban, hood, headdress. Faithfulness, truth, faithfulness, that's a Hebrew word. Rejoice, that's a Hebrew word as well. Exalt, greatly delighted. All right. Let us begin with the lesson and the expiratorial things in your lesson. Why this lesson matters, we'll read that last. The lesson in focus. Our Christian musical heritage includes multiple hymns and spiritual songs whose lyrics speak of a better and brighter future. There is a brighter day ahead. Won't it be wonderful over there where, when we all get to heaven, the agony of slavery led our ancestors to compose what we identify as spirituals. They expressed longing for freedom and escape from horrific conditions. There was the hope that those who oppressed them and treated them inhumanely would one day reap the pain and suffering they had sown. Let us continue. If we are honest with our own feelings about being misused, we may inwardly express the wish for our enemies to be punished for what they do to us. God's chosen people, Israel, suffered famine, disease, death at the hands of those who chose to punish them for their sin. Though they deserved his judgment, they complained they had abandoned him and had not kept his promise. Prophet Habakkuk even questioned why God would use people more wicked as they as instruments of his divine judgment. For his own integrity and not because of their complaining, God let it be known that he had not forgotten his covenant with Abraham, even before, during, and after they had been defeated and dispersed by Assyria and exiled in Babylon. God spoke through his prophets to comfort them with the assurance that the day would come when he would repay all their enemies in kind. He would prove the principle that what goes around comes around to those who mistreat his people. The bright day ahead for God's people will see the condemnation and judgment those who engage in injustice, evil against them. The righteous will be vindicated. You are a holy priesthood. God cares about you. God is not going to be slack for those who harm you and do punishment to you for whatever reason, do injustice to you. Isaiah prophesied during the period, the lesson in context. Isaiah prophesied during the period of the divided kingdom of Israel. He witnessed the fall and dispersion of Israel in the north, and 13 years later, he witnessed the destruction of many Judah's walls, cities of Assyria, by Assyria. In fact, his lifetime, he saw both Israel and Judah, with the exception of Jerusalem, destroyed by the Assyrians. His prophet ministers can be thematically divided into two categories. Chapters 1 through 39 focus on God's judgment of Israel, Judah, and the nation around them, while chapters 40 through 66 focus on the comfort. It is this second category of message, those in Jerusalem who had witnessed the collapse of their nation are given comfort and hope for a glorious future to be ushered in by God's messenger, the prophet Messiah. The promised Messiah. Chapter 61 presents the commission of God's message to ministers to the post-exilic communities, verses 1 through 3. The results of his ministry will be the restoration of Jerusalem and the surrounding cities, the establishment of Israel as the kingdom of priests, and the reversal of the conditions of the land, 4 to 7. The remaining verses of this chapter are the text for this lesson. Describe more fully the restoration of God's people to righteousness, living in glorious worship when he establishes kingdom. These things are to come. These things are to come. An open inquiry. How should God's love for justice motivate believers to address the challenge of injustice? You'll see that in verse 8a. What is the base of God's promise to his people? That's also in 8d. How should we respond to the gift of salvation? That's in verse 10. Let's go to what is the significance of Jerusalem's new name? Isaiah 62 and 4. Let's read our insights. The Bible has much to say about justice, and including God's command, expectation, and love for it. God loves justice. His love for it is found in both the Old and New Testament. His love for justice is found in passages like Psalm 33 and 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. There are commands to his children to practice justice. He's speaking directly to us. Even though he's saying Israel, but he's speaking to you now. See Israel 1:17, 30, and 18, and Michael 6:8. The benefits for obeying the call to do justice. See Psalms 37:27 and 29, 106 in verse 3. And the consequences of failing to see Deuteronomy 27:19, Colossians 3:25, Hebrews 10:30. God's love for justice was demonstrated by faithfulness to his covenant with Israel. They received just punishment for their disobedience at the hand of those who chose to discipline them. But he promised that their disciplines would be punishes, as we observe the rampant justice that ravaged our communities, our nation, and the world. It is comforting and reassuring to know that God's love for justice ensures that those who sow it will also reap the kind at his set time. Nobody's getting away. God chooses who he chooses to punish us for our sin. And guess what? The ones that he chose to punish us for our sin, He's got a day to punish them for punishing his people. Exploration. The Bible principles are what goes around comes around. Can be explored by God and your students. And those of you that are listening, identify a passage in both Testament where it is taught directly and indirectly, emphasizing the importance of recognizing this principle in a positive manner, also with selfish motives and attitude. Oh, be weary. God knows your reason for whatever you're doing. God knows your reason for whatever you do. God sees the real heart of it. Other men don't, but God sees it. Be careful. Be careful. Discuss with your with the listeners as we talk here what God's love for justice should motivate them to think, feel, and act as his children. Challenge them to identify a positive way to risk areas of injustice in their community. Challenge them to identify a positive way to resist an area of injustice in their community. All around you. All around you. Okay. Additional expert insight for this commentary on Isaiah 61, verses 8 through 9. Let us begin. Let us begin. We hope you thoroughly have a picture of what is about to take place and what we are about to do in the explanation of the scripture. For the Lord loves judgment. I hate robbery. For burnt offerings, I will direct their works. In truth, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seeds which the Lord has blessed. God's character is the guarantee that he will keep his promise. God's character is the guarantee that he will keep his promise. The certainty of the blessing listed in verses 6 through 7, are based on God's love for justice. His hatred of robbery. His faithfulness, verse 8. The people were suffering because he was punishing them. The people were suffering because he was punishing them. However, because he is the authority and epitome of justice, he promised to restore it. Additionally, because the standards of justice is a part of his divine character, he pledged to live up to it and pay the wages of suffering due his people. This promise of restoration of justice will be sealed by an eternal contract covenant. His everlasting covenant, his people will set them apart as his own unique and blessed people who will be recognized worldwide. Just into verse 9. And there shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people, all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. The promised future glory of Israel that Isaiah described is based on the internal attributes of God. He cannot and will not act contrary to who he is. Justice will prevail. Justice will prevail. And justice will be removed because an injustice will be removed because of his love for justice. He will never abandon those who come to him in faith, because he is faithful to the covenant he made with his people. The Pacific covenant promised Israel that he would fully realize when Christ the Messiah returned to establish God's just kingdom. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. When we say the word talking to Israel, he's talking to you. You and I. Presently, all who have accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ have the same secure promise under the new covenant. Our responsibilities as recipients of these blessings are to commit to righteous living and stand against justice. Commit to righteous living and stand against justice. One more time, let this sink in. Sink in, listeners. Sink in, members. Sink in, those who are listening. Commit to righteous living and stand against justice. Quick question for you. Salvation identifies believers as blessed and unique. How can we visibly demonstrate this in a word characterized by injustice? By doing just what we just said. Commit to righteous living and stand against injustice. Let's go to Isaiah 61, 10 through 11. This is our second outline. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, as a bride adorned herself for her jewels. That's verse 10. I know you know who he's talking about. And you know who the bride is, you know who the bridegroom is. All right. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. All right. Make sure you understand these and who God is talking about. The closing verses of chapter 61 include a hymn of praise in anticipation of Israel's future glory. Using figurative language, Isaiah describes Israel's restoration as garments of clothing like those adorned a bridegroom and the jewels of a bride. Verse 10, the nation defiled by sin is pictured as being clothed with garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. The beauty of joy of this blessing is like the ornament headwear worn by a bridegroom, the costly jewels worn by a bride in Near Eastern culture. The righteous here in the Old Testament, image of imputed righteousness, every repentant sinner who comes to Christ by faith is covered with God's righteousness, his grace. In addition, like the soil of the earth sustained to growth and productive plants in spring, the Lord caused Israel's righteousness and praise to spring up and be known by other nations. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Be faithful. Lord will cause Israel's righteousness, the praise to spring up, or be known by other nations. In light of this, the appropriate response to God's blessing are praise, thanksgiving, living as visible examples of righteous living. God has promised Israel that the justice of all else that was destroyed by sin will be restored in his everlasting covenant. We too have our own hymns, praise, because we have been restored to a right relationship with him and have been clothed in righteousness. As Israel was to be recognized by all God's ambassadors, God's people today have the same assignment and responsibility in this present age. What evidence is there that would suggest that the purpose for being clothed in righteousness are not being fully demonstrated? Powerful question there. What evidence is there that would suggest that the purpose of for our being clothed in righteousness and not fully being demonstrated? All right, let's go to the last outline. A question for you to ponder there. Commentary on Isaiah, the last outline is Isaiah 62, 2 through 4a. And the Gentiles shall see the righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Let's go back just for a minute. We want to look at that word. Turban, hood, headdress. Okay? Thou shalt be crowned in glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. Thou shalt no more be turned forsaken, neither shall their land be more termed desolate. God does not do his work in secret. Let me say that again. God does not do his work in secret. Even when we can't see him, he is always working to fulfill his will. The people had previously complained that he had not fulfilled his promise to them and had been silent. In view of the promised restoration and future glory for Israel revealed in Isaiah 61, God declared that he would not keep silent, that is, be inactive until he had completed his will. Verses 1, like the steady beam of a lighted torch, all nations, their leaders will discern Israel's righteousness and promised glory. This recognition will be accompanied by a new name reflecting this divine orchestrated reversal in status. Verse 2, the Lord promised that Jerusalem, Zion, Israel's current ruined condition will be transformed and appear as the crown adorned him and rested in his hand. The complete fulfillment of this transformation will be removal of the designation of Jerusalem as forsaken and the land as desolate. Entering a relationship with God requires spiritual transformation. Entering a relationship with God requires spiritual transformation that begins with accepting his plans of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. As we yield to the fulfilling ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are progressively changed to become more like the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. The forsaken become the accepted and the desolate become the cherished. God's transformative work in the lives of believers is not for their glory. Get this? God's transformative work in the lives of believers is not for their glory, but his. We are to reflect his righteousness for all to see, be drawn to him. Reflecting his righteousness is by resisting injustice, assisting its victims, and exposing those who perpetrate it. Did you hear that? Readers, did you hear that? What a summation of what goes around comes around. We are to reflect his righteousness for all to see and to be drawn to him. Reflecting his righteousness is key to resisting injustice, assisting its victims, and exposing those who perpetuate it. What a lesson. What a lesson. How should our knowing that God wants to display us to the world affect how we live our daily lives? Oh, what a question. How should our knowing that God wants us to display us to the world affect how we live our daily lives? Oh, live righteously. Live, do justice. People would see it. Remember, God does not do his work in secret. All right. We hope you enjoyed today's lesson. And we hope we said something that will bless you in your walk with Christ. Now, next week's lesson for Sunday, May the 3rd, 2020, is The Return of Joy. Devotional reading is going to come out of Psalm 47. Make sure if you don't read anything during the week, read these items here. The Return of Joy, devotional reading, Psalms 47. The background scripture is Zephaniah, the third chapter. The printed text, Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20. Our closing prayer. Dear God, it is our desire to see the righteousness vindicated. Dear God, it is our desire to see the righteous vindicated and to help those victimized by injustice. We depend on your promise, power, and presence to help us in our effort to work with you to make these become a reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, the membership, we thank you for taking the opportunity to listen to Freddie Howard, the superintendent of Antioch Number One Baptist Church here in Tone Spring, where Reverend Waylon Oliver is the pastor. And at 11 o'clock today, streaming live, Reverend Oliver's sermon will be streamed live. We thank Mr. Corey Robinson for doing that. On behalf, again, all of us, take care and God bless. See you next time on House Eper and Doctrine, Blog Talk Radio, the Sunday School from Antioch Baptist Church. Thank you.